Thank you. All right, it's a little bit early, but then that's okay. I walked around to most people out there and told them, if you want to come in, you're welcome to. So we're going to send around this video after this morning. So if you want to watch it again, I guess in your case, you're welcome to. I'm not commending that necessarily. I want to give a little bit of context to this video. This, as it says on the screen, is the Church Planters Readiness Seminar. This was a seminar that was supported by our presbytery. It occurred in, if I remember right, April of this year. I think it was April. Our church was very involved in funding this, very generously. So the seminar itself, I think it was about $15,000 to fund this seminar, and our church gave the vast majority of that, and I'm really, really thankful for that. I want to give you sort of the vision behind this seminar. We have a presbytery that has roughly 30 churches in it. It stretches from one end of Michigan to the other, up and down, north and south, and includes Ontario, Canada. Ontario, Canada does not have very many churches, maybe four, I think. So most of the churches that are part of our presbytery are in the state of Michigan. If you go back to the 60s, I believe, Bill might know this better than I do, if you can remember. If I remember correctly, if you go back to the 60s, there was one OPC church. Isn't that right? Yep. There was one OPC church, and today there are about 30. And so you can see the difference between 1960 and today. We care a lot about churches and about planting churches. And if you have not talked to Bill about church planting, you should. Because Bill has been very, very important part, not only of our presbytery, but also our denomination. And part of the reason we did this seminar was because I talked to Bill about it. And this is something that is not entirely new. These used to happen way back in the day. Bill used to be an employee of the OPC and had a role in doing things like this. So in a sense, this is just bringing into today something that happened in the past. So the goal of these seminars was to address one of the four great needs that our presbytery has for effective church planting. One of the needs, obviously, is recruiting capable church planters and their wives to do this work. The second is identifying places where we should plant churches. We don't want to plant churches next to other Bible-believing churches, Reformed Presbyterian churches. That doesn't make any sense. There are plenty of places in the state of Michigan where there are places where people do not worship God. And so we want to be really intentional about where we plant churches. We need to have a vision, thirdly, for what we're trying to do. We've struggled as a presbytery to have that. We have quite a diversity of churches and perspectives in our presbytery, and we've struggled as a presbytery to have a unifying vision. And the fourth thing we need are the finances in order to make this happen. And you're going to hear me talk about, in this video, the vision of planting one church a year in the state of Michigan. I don't think that's going to be something that happens in the next year or two, but I pray that it will happen within the time that I'm the pastor of this church. So what do I have? Maybe 15, 20 years left in ministry, something like that. 30? I don't think so. No, I don't think 30. But it is really my desire. Please pray for that, that the Lord would do that. Some of you may have seen in Christianity Today this past week, there was an article about the state of Christianity in the United States. Any of you see that? It was then picked up by Fox and the AP and a number of places. The most recent trends in religious behavior in the United States indicates that most likely by 2045, Christianity will be a minority religion in the United States. And most of those folks who are leaving Christianity, they are not headed to other religions. They are, you might say, either nuns or duns. That is, they've quit the church or they've never been part of a church. In the state of Michigan, roughly half of the people do not attend worship regularly. We may think of Grand Rapids as this place that is heavily churched. Even in Grand Rapids, there is a sizable segment of people who do not attend worship. So our goal as a presbytery is to try to address some of those things that we believe need to be addressed in order for effective church planting to occur. And this is one part of that. This is not the whole solution, but it's one portion. There were seven couples and their wives that came to this readiness seminar. They're in various stages. Some of them already ordained, thinking about church planting. Some of them needed to go through training yet. Some of them needed to go through exams. So it was not meant to be a one-size-fits-all, but what it was intended was a place where potential church planters and their wives could come, run through various scenarios, receive evaluations, and then get good feedback about where there could be places for growth and improvement, whether they were, you know, very, very close to church planting or whether that was somewhere in their future somewhere. So just to give you a sense, it doesn't include on here what we did in those 4 days. We had various scenarios we ran through, like imagine you're at a party and you strike up a conversation with someone who's not a Christian, or you have a conversation with someone who is a Christian, at least they have been, but they've been very hurt by the church. Or imagine a scenario in which you're a police chaplain, you're asked to speak at the funeral of somebody who is vaguely Christian to a whole group of people who are not. So those are the scenarios, sort of scenarios that we ran through. We did group scenarios. We did small group scenarios. Each candidate and his wife filled out an exhaustive, I think it was a pretty exhaustive survey before they came. They also were required to solicit input from people who knew them well, and we collected those surveys beforehand. So by the time they came, we had many, many points of data to think about and to talk about them with. And then on the last day they were there, we had about a 20-minute conversation with each couple and their wives. So the four of us, you'll see there were four assessors. We just sat in a room. We said, okay, this is what our experience has been over the last week. This is what we learned from your surveys. Here's the feedback we give. I'm not sure if this is true for everyone, but at least for a number of people who expressed what they were thinking, this is the first time that many of them had received direct feedback about where somebody saw their future ministry lie. And for many of them, that was very emotional. I mean, there were many couples, either husband and wife or both, who cried because they felt like we've been trying to figure out where we're headed, didn't really have a clue. We went through all the steps, went through seminary, got good grades in seminary, passed those exams, went through exams in the church. But then now we're here. Am I just supposed to figure out myself if I'm a church planter? I mean, how do I figure that out? And I see certain weaknesses in myself, like I'm a procrastinator or, you know, whatever. What am I supposed to do with that? And how does that work? So those are the sort of things that we talk about. Our hope is to do it again. And to then do it again and do it again, do it again. You'll hear some demographic information about where the couples came from. We have not had one of these couples plant a church in the state of Michigan yet, but there are some good conversations going on about doing exactly that. So the loop is not closed yet in terms of this having direct payoff, but I'm confident it will. Okay, so if you can roll that, it's a short video. Just think if you've got questions when you're watching it. And then when the video's finished, I'll pop back up and ask any questions you want.
because we really want to plant churches in our presbytery that are affected. And every pastor who's called needs to have gifts of a certain sort. But we believe that church planting pastors require a unique set of skills, just like someone who goes to teach at a seminary also has a unique set of skills, even though he's ordained as a pastor. The same holds true for church planters.
We're doing this seminar because we're really eager to move forward with church planting. And one of the key things is to find church planters. So we're trying to encourage men to think about church planting if they haven't thought about it. We're also looking for guys who have thought about church planting but don't really know where to go next. And so hopefully this will be a time where they're able to get some feedback about their sense of call and their gifts. And our desire is that we can find some men to plug into some potential church plants that we have.
I hope that he will learn something about himself, about how we understand church planting is done in the OPC. I hope he becomes encouraged by interactions with some seasoned ministers, and also the interaction between them and their wives as they think about future ministry and whether or not they want to pursue something in home missions.
This is a great opportunity to find out whether or not God is calling you to this. So if it's only feedback, that's fantastic. But there's also a lot of good relationship building at an occasion like this. So you get to meet other people who are interested in similar sorts of things. And perhaps you even learn some very important things as you go through the exercises.
It's the situation, it's the place where we see the church grow the most with converts, with new believers. It's where we have a fresh structure. It's where we have people that are coming into churches for the first time. The numbers bear this out.
I'm convinced that church planting is how the church grows. So throughout the history of the church, the kingdom expands, the church grows. As people go and plant churches, that's what you see in the New Testament. It's what you see throughout church history, and it's what we, if we're eager to see the church grow, we have to plant churches. So there's no real other way to do it.
Because I love our presbytery is fantastic. We have a great collection of churches. We have diversity in our presbytery, but there's a very strong desire that we would plant churches. And that's already been true for a number of years. Many of the churches that exist now in our presbytery were church plants, and so they have that built into their DNA. The church I pastor now is not a church plant, but that's how it started. And we want to continue that momentum. In fact, our goal is that it just wouldn't be a church plant that comes out of this seminar, but we would start a pattern of planting churches year after year after year.
I'm committed to church planting in our presbytery. I think West Michigan, I'll speak of one part of our presbytery first, has a unique opportunity as there are a lot of people who are Christians but floundering. They feel like their church maybe has shifted, moved away from the foundations. And so I'm eager to plant churches to sort of stabilize and take advantage of some fertile soil that we do have, I think, in West Michigan. But there are so many places, including West Michigan, but throughout the state and, of course, Canada as well, where people just don't know the gospel. And how are they going to know, as Paul says in Romans 10, right? Unless we send preachers. And so we need church plants because people don't know Jesus.
Well, I think that presbyteries are best suited to evaluate men and to match them with locations within their regions. And so I serve the Committee on Home Missions, the GA Committee. I live in Philadelphia. I don't live in Michigan. And so this is great that it's happening on the local and regional level. And it would be great for other presbyteries to take this up also, because they know their people, they know their culture. And they're best suited to make matches and to pursue this cause of discipling their states for the sake of Christ.
We want to plant churches regularly. And so I think this could be one part of starting to build some momentum that is necessary. I think the Lord blesses that sort of vision if we just start praying and planning for church planting and doing what we can do and asking the Lord to for His blessing on it. I think the Lord responds to that sort of intention and vision and desire. So I'm hoping this is just the beginning of something that's bigger than we would have ever imagined.
There are ongoing needs and efforts at planting churches in the Presbytery here, but also around the country. And there are men that are needed to be proven and then to be sent out to various mission works around this presbytery, but also around the country.
We want to plant, as I said, not just a church this year. We want to plant a church next year and the year after that, and the year after that. Literally half the people in Michigan do not attend worship regularly. And so for those who know nothing about Jesus Christ, they need to hear that gospel message. And as one of my brothers said to me, wouldn't it be wonderful if God would choose to use the OPC to do that work? I think it would be. God has given us great theology, a great history, a great commitment to the church. And it seems as though this is the time more than any, at least in my lifetime, where the need for really solid, biblical, and outreaching churches, churches that love their community, that love Jesus Christ, that love their neighbor, this is the time when those churches are really necessary.
I didn't see what that was. So that gives you a sense somewhat of what we did. Any questions about that? No? Yeah. So, I'll just repeat it so everybody else can hear it after you ask it, okay?
So there were 10 couples that...
There were 7 couples that came. So the question is, how many couples were there? There were 7 couples, and were they all affirmed in their sense of being called to church planting? That's hard for me to answer. I would say that as assessors, we would say that some were much closer than others. There were a couple that we sensed were very close. One of them has gone on to plant a church, just not in Michigan, in Pennsylvania. Another one, as of a couple of weeks, was very close to planting a church in California. So it wasn't as though, when I said earlier, we haven't had any of them come to plant a church in Michigan. It's not as though they haven't planted churches. It's just they haven't done them in Michigan yet. And I have to say, our area is Michigan, so I want them to plant churches here. But we belong to the OPC in general, so if they're planting churches in Pennsylvania or California, that's good as well. And then some of the couples, some of the men, they were some distance away. And so this was meant both for our evaluation, but also for their reflection. And it's hard to know in some cases what that will turn into. So it might be, you know, you need to go through the process because you might have somebody who is not yet ordained. There are people who have not been through the exams of our presbytery yet. So those are very definite steps to take. There were other candidates who had some real heart issues that came out during the interactions and came out in their surveys. I'm not going to say too much about that, except to say in one case, it was very startling. Yep. Somebody who was very naturally gifted, but had a particular sin that he struggled with. And it was the first time, as far as he could tell, that someone said to him, this really is a serious sin that will keep you from serving well in the church. And there has been a lot of follow-up after that. But those kinds of things happened as well. And there's no substitute for being together for about a week, getting to know each other well, going through exercises, getting all that feedback before we came together, and then giving feedback while we're there. Yes. Right. Good question. So the question is, once a man and his wife decide, hey, this is for us, we want to do this, and the presbytery says they're ready, what are the next steps? So historically, what has happened in the OPC is there's a group of people in a certain area who say, we would like to have an OPC. And then if that core group, we call it, seems as though it's viable, like you're committed to the right kind of things, we will send a church planter there. So many of the churches that exist in Michigan now, they came by that method. And there's value to that. There's also great desire in the church planting seminar, the men who led that, as well as in our committee of presbytery to do more than that. And that is to identify locations where there are not churches, Bible-believing churches, and to develop a location and then call a church planter to serve there. So let me just walk through what that would mean. So the presbytery and the denomination would support someone coming and being part of our church in preparation of that for 3 years. So the first year he would be in our church learning a lot about this church, but also learning about an area to plant a church. So it would be like a 75% here, 25% there. The second year would be split 50-50. 50% here, 50% in that community developing relationships, perhaps having Bible studies, meeting people one-on-one. The third year would be 25-75. And then the fourth year, if things develop in the way they ought, then there would be an opportunity for that collection of people the church planter has been working with to then not necessarily start worship services, but have formal Bible studies and be on the road to holding eventually worship services. There has to be some way where we have some stability with the church planter, so give him some stability, while still giving him the freedom to go to a place, develop those relationships, sort of provide a place for him to go and then develop into a church plant. And that is something that I think has happened before, but at least in our state, we see an increasing need for that. So imagine like Battle Creek or Muskegon or someone like that, someone close enough to drive to, but also a place where there are not very many gospel churches. At least there's a real opportunity. Not to say there aren't any there, but there are some real opportunities. That is an approach that we would like to put into place. But as I said, there are those four things that need to be exist in order for that to occur. There has to be a vision for that, financing for it, the men able to go, and then a lot of very good work done in demographics. So it is a shame if we go plant a church right next to another Bible-believing Reformed or Presbyterian church or, you know, Bible-believing Baptist church or whatever it is. We're not looking, first of all, just to collect people who are already in churches who like our version a little better. What we're trying to do is find people who are interested in Christ, whose spirits have been prepared for the gospel, and minister to them. So ideally, a good church plant would start with about 50% of the people who have already been Christians for a while. They provide this stability, the sense of we know what we're doing. And then 50% of the people who are either under church or not church at all. Because those people would tend to be those who are really integrated in the community. And they will be the natural people to invite their friends and the neighbors, many of whom probably are not Christians, to come and be a part of this. And where we have tended in the past is toward we collect people already Christians, and they already have their network of people. They like the OPC better, which is good. And then we wonder why the community doesn't come. And the answer is, well, we didn't really start with people who were in that community. We started with people who were over here, and they already were not integrated. Maybe they weren't in the pro. You can have people already Christians who are really gung-ho about reaching their neighborhoods. You can tell that in advance. I remember talking to a church planter at one point, somebody who wanted to plant a church. He said, I want to be a church planter. I said, so tell me what you're doing. Do you invite unbelievers into your home? Do you have any sort of neighborhood interaction? Like, do you have a neighborhood, like, you know, people will form like a neighborhood group where you get together and you have block parties, and do you do any of that? Have you found any way to meaningfully connect with people in your community? Because if you're doing that already, this could be very good for you. This could be a good fit. But if you're saying, no, I don't do that. I've never done any of that. And then we say, okay, now we're going to make you a church planter. Now go do that. Well, that doesn't seem to make sense. And the same thing happens with people already Christians who become part of a church plant. If they have that as sort of their behavior, that's what they do, it can be really great. But if they're not, and then you try to turn them into that, it's going to be difficult. Yeah. So we're looking for the right combination of people, understanding that Christ calls all kinds of people, and many churches start with less than the ideal. And so it's not as though there's just a formula. It's not that simple. But there are some things that over time we have seen that make a lot of sense. And we want to try to use the best wisdom in order to really do our best. We don't want to just try. I mean, trying's important, but you have to try in a way that makes sense. Good question. Really good question. So if all those things were in place, we have what's called the Checks Committee. That's the Church Extension Committee of our presbytery. And it is their job at this point to help facilitate the church planter and a place. I will just let you in on something. I would really like to see in our area, in the Grand Rapids area, for us to develop sort of a smaller version of that. Because the challenges of planting in the Grand Rapids area or Battle Creek or Muskegon, the surrounding area, might be very different than planting in Ann Arbor or Detroit. And so if you want to hear sort of the high level conversation about this, some of you have listened to the Mars Hill podcast that Christianity Today put together. How many of you have heard that? No? So Mars Hill was a very, very large church in the Seattle area. It was pastored by Mark Driscoll. You can listen to that to hear the story. It's not a happy story at all. But I would say at its height, Mars Hill rented out the Seattle football stadium for their Easter service. And they had many thousands of people there. So at its height, it was a major social influence. But what happened was there was a lot of internal unhealthiness, a lot of ungodliness, and the whole thing fell apart. So this series of podcasts is recording what happened. At the very end of those podcasts, they added a couple more, and one of them is with a PCA pastor who talks about his involvement at the beginning with Mars Hill. He wasn't involved very long, but then it kind of morphs into his version of church planting. And what he says is this, and this makes a lot of sense to me. He said denominations are very good, presbyteries are very good at what you might call white cell functions. That is, guarding against error, guarding against trouble, making sure people are orthodox. That's really good. But you've also got to have the red blood cell part. That is the people who are local, the people who know the community, the people who, you know, can understand the difference between Detroit and Grand Rapids and what makes sense in Grand Rapids and doesn't in Detroit. And that's where he talks about the local group of churches working together in a way to plant churches that work well in their community. And that makes a ton of sense to me. That really does make sense to me. Okay, I'll stop there. I feel like I'm just blathering on about it. As you can tell, I care a lot about this. I do. Yeah. Other questions? Yeah, Tom. You're talking about the assessment? Yes. So our presbytery was not entirely comfortable with this idea. This was a new thing, and they're like, I don't know. And so what they did was put sunset terms on the people involved. So in December, my term is up. And that's fine with me. I mean, I do not feel like I need to own this by any respect. This was, I have to be honest, this idea was one that, you know, I said I talked to Bill about. It also was influenced by my time in a different denomination. And this was not the same, but it was similar. And then it just grew from there. And so the presbytery could do another one of these. They definitely could. It's a ton of work. It is so much. I did not appreciate how much work it was. I mean, it was hours. Sometimes I felt like I was working two jobs at once. Because developing the questionnaires, contacting people, making sure everything was set up. Oh, my word. I just told them at the end, I can't do that again. I will not be the person who can do that another time. Now, we've built a lot of procedures and documents that are just ready to go. And so it would be easier the second time, but the presbytery is going to have to own it if they do it again. Yeah, they're going to have to decide, we want to do this, and we're going to really get behind it. And they did in the sense of financing it. But in terms of, is this something we want to commit to long term? I would say the majority of the presbytery definitely said yes. But there are a few people like, I don't know, do we want a lot of churches like Redeemer? I'm like, yes, we want all churches like Redeemer. But not everybody is in full agreement with that. And we want to respect that. I mean, as I said in the video, I really love our presbytery. I mean, And I even say that after being at Presbytery yesterday, which I would describe as 90% really, really uninteresting and 10% pure enjoyment. I mean, it's like that with a lot of meetings. You've gone to meetings like that, right? Some of it is you just have to endure. And then every once in a while you're like, okay, this is why we're here. Yeah. I do love our presbytery. We are committed to the truth of God's word. And we do want to see the gospel spread in our geographical limits. And I love that. We may not always agree exactly how to do that, but we do want that. And that's been borne out by our history. Other questions? Yeah, Dave. Now, Dave was at Presbytery yesterday. So if you want to know about Presbytery, ask Dave. His experience was 50-50, 50% enjoyment and 50% like make it through. You know why, Dave? Because you are further down the road of sanctification than I am. That's why. I sit there and I keep thinking, I've got all these other things to do. I need to keep working. How can I work on things while I'm sitting here? I've got my laptop over and I'm working on a sermon or. Yeah. Like, could we just boil this all down to like 3 hours? But we can't. I mean, you have to go through it. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. What is your question? Yep. So could you see the possibility of an unordained person being involved in this? Absolutely. In fact, I would say that's a huge part of effective church planting in two regards. One is when you have a church plant that's functioning, like I talked about, 50% of people who are Christians already, 50% of people who are not, that 50% of people who are Christians and are invested in it, that's a really critical group. And that can't be done by an ordained person. That has to be unordained to be involved in that. Right. You can think of how many church plants have been started and then that core group just falls apart. I mean, that's brutal. That's terrible. It's really. Is that true? Yeah. Yeah. It's that really hurts. The other part is it takes a lot of money. I have no shame in saying that. It takes a lot of money. Yeah. So it requires a lot of support in order to get things like this off the ground, because you're looking at the church plant giving back years in the future. So if you're looking at this just in terms of, accumulation of funds, it's the wrong strategy. Yeah. And then there has to be some participation in the church as a whole in saying this is something we want to pursue. If you've got one person leading the charge and saying we should do this and everybody else is like, well, whatever, it's his project, it will never work. There has to be a sense of compulsion based on the word of God that we're here to make disciples. I mean, that's what we live for. And we make disciples so that Christ can be glorified by more and more people. If that's not what moves us, church planting is going to be like, ugh, it's so hard and there's no guarantees and, it's a struggle. Why would we be doing that? It is definitely not the easy route. It's challenge, which only gives me more appreciation for Bill. Spent so many years working on that. Any other questions? Okay, guess what happened to our sermon review time? It went right by. Because I see, if you look, you can't see this when you're sitting here, but I watch the kids coming out, and it reminds me, this is meant very respectfully. When I wake up in the morning, about 6 in the morning, we have this dog. I told you about Indy. He's, about 6 months old, and he sleeps in a kennel. And so when I get up, I go down there, open up the kennel. And can you imagine your mind what he does? He like jumps around like a rabbit and he's racing around. And I look out there and I see those beautiful kids and they're doing the same thing. We're out running around. Yeah. Yeah. I'm very thankful for that. Why don't we pray? And then next time you can actually ask questions about the sermon. And if you do have questions, you're more than free to ask me. People do that and I do my best to respond. Okay. Father, now we commit this time to you and pray by your grace that not only what we have talked about, but also the purpose that we have would be fulfilled, that we would see more and more people come to faith in Jesus Christ. We do that not for our own glory, not because we want to be large or powerful or great. We do this because we want to have our Savior Jesus Christ exalted. We pray that you would choose us in your kindness, in your mercy to do that work. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.